wear matches. Get off of me, Jason. He slid to the floor without being told twice. He could never leave well enough alone, our Jason. He always had to get the last joke, the last comment, that one bit too many. I worried that someday with someone else, that little quirk might get him hurt, or worse. Richard propped himself up on one elbow, moving slowly as if he wasn't sure everything was working.
I don't know if that felt better than anything else we've ever done, or worse.
It feels like a combination of a hangover and mild flu to me, I said.
And yet, it feels good, Jean-Claude said.
I finally got upright and found that they both had a hand at my back to support me, as if their movements had been simultaneous. I actually leaned in against their hands rather than telling them to move. One, I was still shaky. Two, I just didn't find the physical contact unpleasant. All these months of trying to forge the were-leopards into a cohesive, friendly unit, and it was me that had learned to be cohesive and friendly. Me that had learned that not every helping hand is a threat to my independence. Me that had learned that not every offer of physical closeness is a trap or a lie. Richard sat up first, slowly, keeping his hand on my back. Then Jean-Claude sat up, keeping his hand very still against me. I felt them exchange glances. This was the moment that I usually pulled away. We'd have some fantastic sex, metaphysical or otherwise, and that was my cue to close down, hide. We were in public, all the more reason to do it. I didn't pull away. Richard's arm slid cautiously up my back, over my shoulders. Jean-Claude's arm moved lower around my waist. They both pulled me into the curve of their bodies as if they were some huge, warm, vinyl-covered chair with a pulse. Some say that the moment during sex when you both have an orgasm, your auras drop. You blend your energies, yourselves, together. You share so much more than just your body during sex. It's one of the reasons you should be careful who you do it with. Just sitting there on the floor with them was like that. I could feel their energies moving through me, like a low-level current, a distant hum. In time, I was pretty sure it would become white noise. Something you can ignore, like psychic shielding when you no longer have to concentrate on it. But now it was like we would always walk, move through that dreamy afterglow where you were still connected, still not quite back in your own skin. I didn't push them away because I didn't want to. Pushing them away would have been redundant. We didn't need to touch to breach the barriers anymore. And that should have scared me more than anything else. But it didn't. Narcissus walked out into the middle of the floor and a soft light fell upon him, growing ever so gradually brighter.
Well, my friends, we have had a treat tonight, have we not?
More applause, screams, and animal noises filled the dimness. Narcissus held up his hands until the crowd fell quiet.
I think we have had our climax for the night.
A smattering of laughter at that.
We will save our show until tomorrow, for to do less would be to dishonor what we have been offered here tonight.
The woman, who was still standing to the back of the dance floor in her robe, said,
I can't compete with that.
Narcissus blew her a kiss.
It is not a competition, sweet Miranda. It is that we all have our gifts. Some are merely more rare than others.
He turned and stared at us as he said the last. His eyes were pale and oddly colored, and it took me a second or two to realize that Narcissus's eyes had bled to his beast. Hyena eyes, I guess, though, truthfully, I didn't know what hyena eyes looked like. I just knew they weren't human eyes. He knelt beside us, smoothing his dress down in an automatic and strangely odd gesture that I'd never seen a man make before. Of course, he was also the first man I'd ever seen in a dress. There was probably a cause and effect. Narcissus lowered his voice.
I would love to speak with you in private about this.
Of course, Jean-Claude said, but first we have other business.
Narcissus leaned in close, lowering his voice until it was necessary to lean forward to hear him.
As I have two of my guards waiting with her leopards, so no harm will come, there is time to talk. Or should I say, your leopards, for surely now what belongs to one belongs to all.
He had leaned so far over that his cheek nearly touched Jean-Claude on one side and my face on the other. No, I said. The leopards are mine.
Really? Narcissus said.
He turned his face that fraction of an inch and brushed his lips against mine. It might have been an accident, but I doubted it.
You don't share everything, then?
I moved my face just far enough away so we weren't touching. No.
So good to know,
he whispered. He leaned forward and pressed his mouth to Jean-Claude's lips. I was startled, frozen for a second, wondering exactly what to do. Jean-Claude knew exactly what to do. He put one finger in the man's chest and pushed, not with muscle, but with power. The power of the marks, the power that we had all just moments before solidified. Jean-Claude drew on it as if he'd done it 1,000 times before, effortlessly, gracefully, commandingly. Narcissus was pushed back from him by a rush of invisible power that I could feel tugging on my body. And I knew that most of the people in the room could feel it as well. Narcissus stayed crouched on the floor, staring at Jean-Claude, staring at all of us. The look on his face was angry, but there was more hunger in it than rage, a hunger denied.
We need to talk in private, Narcissus insisted.
Jean-Claude nodded.
That would be best, I think.
There was a weight of things left unsaid in that short exchange. I felt Richard's puzzlement mirror my own before I turned my head to glance back at him. The movement put our faces close enough so that we could almost have kissed. I could tell just by the expression in his eyes that he didn't know what was going on. And he seemed to know that I could tell because he didn't bother to shrug or make any outward acknowledgement. It wasn't telepathy, though to an outsider it might look that way. It was more extreme empathy, as if I could read every nuance on his face, the smallest change, and know what it meant. I was still pressed in the circle of Richard's and Jean-Claude's arms, a strange amount of bare skin touching all of us. My back, Richard's chest and stomach, Jean-Claude's arm. There was something incredibly right about the touching, the closeness. I felt Jean-Claude's attention turn before I moved my head to meet his eyes. The look in those drowning eyes held worlds of things unsaid, unasked, all so tremblingly close. Because for once, he didn't see in my eyes the barriers that kept all those words trapped. It had to be the marriage of the marks affecting me, but that night, I think he could have asked me anything, anything, and I wasn't sure I'd say no. What he finally said was, "Shall we retire to privacy to discuss business with Narcissus?" His voice had its usual smoothness. Only his eyes held uncertainty, and a need so large he almost had no words for it. We'd all waited so long for my surrender. I knew that the phrasing wasn't mine. It sounded more like something Jean-Claude would think, but with Richard also pressed against my body, I wasn't really sure who was thinking it. I only knew it hadn't been me. Even before the marks had merged, I'd had moments like this. Moments when their thoughts invaded mine, overrode mine. The images had been the worst. Nightmare flashes of feeding on the warm bodies of animals, of drinking blood from people I didn't know. It had been this mingling, this loss of self that had terrified me, sent me running for anything that would keep me whole, keep me myself. Tonight, that just didn't seem important. Definitely an after effect of the metaphysical union of marks. But knowing what it was didn't make it go away. It was a dangerous night. Jean-Claude said,
"Ma petite, are you well? I am feeling much better. Energized, in fact. Are you still ill?"
I shook my head. "No, I feel fine." Fine didn't really cover it. Energized was a good word for it, but there were others. How long could it take to rescue the were-leopards from yet another disaster? The night wasn't young. Dawn would come, and I wanted to be alone with them before that. I realized with a jolt that ran all the way down my body that tonight was it. If we could get some privacy and not be interrupted, all things would suddenly be possible. Richard and Jean-Claude both stood up, in a boneless movement of grace for the vampire and pure energy for the werewolf. I gazed at them as they stood above me, and I was suddenly eager to have the other business done with. I wasn't as worried about the leopards as I should have been, and that did bother me. Whatever this effect was, it was distracting me from more important things. Saving the leopards was why I'd come. It was the first time I'd really thought of them in a while. I shook my head, trying to clear it of sex and magic and the weight of possibilities in Richard's eyes. Jean-Claude's eyes were more cautious, but I'd taught him caution where I was concerned. I held my hands up to both of them. I never asked for help to stand unless I was bleeding or something was broken. The two of them exchanged glances, then they held their hands out to me, again in perfect unison, like choreographed dancers who knew what the other would do. They could feel my desire, but that had always been there. It told them nothing. I took their hands and let them lift me up. They were both still looking unsure, almost suspicious, as if they were waiting for me to recoil from them and run screaming from the intimacy of it all. I had to smile. If we can get everyone all tucked in safe and sound before dawn, all things will be possible. They exchanged another look between them. Jean-Claude made a small movement as if encouraging Richard. It was a tiny, almost push with his head as if to say, "Go ahead, ask." Normally, seeing them plot behind my back pissed me off, but not that night.
"Do you mean..."
Richard let the thought trail off. I nodded, and Richard's hand tightened on mine. Jean-Claude's hand was strangely quiet in mine.
"You do realize, ma petite, that this new,"
he hesitated,
"willingness may be a byproduct of joining the Marks tonight. I don't wish you to accuse us later of trickery."
"I know what it is, and I don't care." I should have, but I didn't. It was like being drunk or drugged, and even thinking that made no difference. I was looking at Jean-Claude, and I saw him let out the breath he'd been holding. I felt Richard do the same. It was as if a great weight had been taken from both of them, and I knew that I was that burden. I'd try not to be a burden from now on. "Let's get this over with and go get the leopards," I said. Jean-Claude raised my hand to his mouth, brushing the knuckles across his lips.
"And be gone from this place."
I nodded. "And be gone from this place," I said. 6. I'd been complaining to Jean-Claude for years that his decorating scheme was too monochromatic, but one look at Narcissus's bedroom and I knew I owed Jean-Claude an apology. The room was done in black, and I mean black. The walls, the hardwood floor, the drawn drapes against one wall, the bed. The only color in the room was the silver chains and the silver-colored implements hanging from the wall. The color of the steel seemed to accentuate the blackness rather than relieve it. Chains dangled from the ceiling above the huge bed. It was bigger than king-sized. The only term that came to mind was orgy-sized. The bed was four-postered with the largest, heaviest, darkest wood I'd ever seen. More chains dangled from the four posts, set in heavy permanent rings. If I'd been on a date, I'd have turned and run for it. But this wasn't a date, and in we all trooped. My understanding about most people who were into DNS was that their bedrooms were separate from their dungeons. Nearby, perhaps, but not the same room. You needed somewhere to go to actually sleep. Maybe Narcissus just never rested from the fun and games. There was a door in the opposite wall, and the drapes were drawn over the middle of one wall. Maybe his real bed was behind door number two, or the drapes. I hoped so. The only chair in the room had straps attached to it, so Narcissus offered us the bed to sit on. I don't know if I would have sat down or not, but first Jean-Claude, then Richard did. Jean-Claude settled against the black bedspread as he did everything, with grace, settling his body against the pillows as if he felt utterly comfortable. But it was Richard who surprised me. I expected to see in him some of the discomfort I felt about the room, but he didn't seem in the least uncomfortable. In fact, I realized for the first time that the heavy leather cuffs at his wrists and the collar at his throat had metal hooks in them, so they could be attached to chains or a leash. He'd probably worn them so he could blend into the club scene as I'd worn the boots, but I could feel that he was calm about the room and everything in it. I wasn't. I looked at Jean-Claude and Richard and knew I'd decided to sleep with both of them tonight, however we arranged it. But seeing them on the bed in the middle of all this, watching them at home in it, made me wonder about my decision. It made me think that maybe, after all this time, I still didn't know what I was getting myself into. Asher was wandering the room looking at the things on the wall. I couldn't read him like I could read the others, but he too seemed unruffled, and I didn't think it was an act. Narcissus had swept into the room with Ajax at his back. He'd agreed to leave everyone else in the hallway or downstairs, in exchange for us leaving our extra wolves outside the room. I guess for true privacy, you did need less than a double-digit worth of people in a room. Richard held his hand out to me.
It's okay, Anita. Nothing in this room can hurt you without your permission, and you're not going to give that.
That wasn't exactly the comforting comment I'd wanted, but I guess it was the truth. I used to believe that truth was good, but I'd begun to realize that it is neither good nor bad. It's just the truth. Life had been simpler when I believed in black and white absolutes. I took his hand and let him draw me to the bed, between Jean-Claude and himself. Well, Narcissus had already made a play for Jean-Claude, so I guess we needed to make the hands-off point. But it still bothered me that Richard put me between them, not simply beside him. The warm, fuzzy feeling I'd had from the marriage of the Marks seemed to be receding at an alarming rate. Magic does that sometimes. I felt stiff and uncomfortable on the black bed between my two men.
What is wrong, ma petite? You are suddenly very tense.
I looked at Jean-Claude, raising my eyebrows. Am I the only one here that doesn't like this room?
Jean-Claude liked this room very much once, Narcissus said.
I turned and looked at the werehyena as he paced the room in his stocking feet. What do you mean? I asked. Jean-Claude answered,
Once I submitted to unwanted advances because I was told to do so. But those days are past.
I stared at him, and he wouldn't meet my gaze. His eyes were all for Narcissus as the other man paced around the bed.
I don't remember you being unwilling, Narcissus said.
He leaned against the far post of the bed.
I learned long ago to make a virtue of necessity, Jean-Claude said. Besides, Nicolaos, the old master of the city, sent me to you. You remember how she was, Narcissus. Refusal of an order was not allowed.
I'd had the horror of meeting Nicolaos personally. She had been very, very scary.
So I was an unpleasant duty.
He sounded angry. Jean-Claude shook his head.
Your body is pleasant, Narcissus. What you like doing with your lovers, if they can take the damage, is not...
Jean-Claude looked down as if searching for the right word, then raised his midnight blue eyes to Narcissus, and I saw the effect that his gaze had on the shapeshifter. Narcissus looked like he'd been hit between the eyes with a hammer. A handsome, charming hammer.
Is not what?
Narcissus asked, his voice hoarse.
Is not to my taste, Jean-Claude said. Besides, I must not have pleased you very much, for you did not do what my late master wished you to do.
I was the reason that Nikolaos was the late master of the city. She'd been trying to kill me, and I'd gotten lucky. She was dead, I wasn't. And now Jean-Claude got to be master of the city. I hadn't planned that. How much of it Jean-Claude had planned was still up for debate. It is not just prejudice on my part that makes me trust him less than Richard. Narcissus put one knee on the bed, one hand still around the bedpost.
You pleased me very much.
The look on his face was too intimate. They should have been alone for this conversation. But then again, watching the way Narcissus looked at Jean-Claude, maybe that wouldn't have been such a great idea. From Jean-Claude, all I sensed was a desire to soothe any injured feelings. But I was betting if I could peek inside Narcissus's head, I'd find a different kind of desire.
Nikolaos thought I failed her and punished me for it.
I could not ally myself with her, not even for you as my permanent toy.
Jean-Claude raised an eyebrow at that.
I do not remember that being part of the deal.
When I first told her no, she sweetened the offer.
Narcissus crawled onto the bed. He stayed crouched on all fours as if he were expecting someone to come up behind him.
In what way did she sweeten the offer?
Narcissus started to crawl across the bed slowly, his knees catching on the hem of his dress as he moved.
She offered you to me for always, to do with as I wished.
A thrill of terror ran through me from my toes to the top of my head. It took me a second to realize it wasn't my fear. Richard and I both turned to Jean-Claude. His face showed nothing. It was his usual, polite, attractive, almost bored mask. But we could both feel the cold, screaming terror in his mind at the thought of how close he'd become to being Narcissus's permanent guest. It filled him with a fear that was larger than the shapeshifter. Images flashed through my mind, memories. Chained on my stomach on rough wood, the sound of a whip going back, the shock of it biting into my skin, and the knowledge that it was only the first blow. The wave of utter despair that followed that memory left me blinking back tears. I had a confused image of being tied to a wall, with a hand rotted to green pus caressing my body. Then the images stopped abruptly, like someone had thrown a switch. But the body the hand had been traveling down had been male. They were Jean-Claude's memories, not mine. He'd been projecting his memories on me, and when he realized it, he'd blocked it. I looked at him and couldn't keep the horror out of my eyes. My hair hid my face from Narcissus, and I was glad because I couldn't be blasé about what I'd just seen. Jean-Claude didn't look at me, but kept his eyes on Narcissus. I was trying not to cry, and Jean-Claude's face betrayed nothing. Jean-Claude hadn't been remembering Narcissus's abuse, but others, many countless others. It wasn't the pain I carried away from the memories, but the despair. The thought that I... No, he... He had not owned his own body. He had never been a prostitute, or rather, he had never traded sex for money. But for power, the whim of whoever was his current master, and, strangely, for safety, he had traded sex for centuries. I'd known that, but I'd pictured him as the seducer. What I'd just seen had nothing to do with seduction. A small sound came from Richard, and I turned to him. His eyes were shiny with unshed tears, and he had the same look of numb horror that I felt on my own face. We looked at each other for a long, frozen moment, then a tear trickled down his face a second before a hot line of tears eased down my own. He reached for my hand, and I took it. And we both turned to Jean-Claude. He was still watching, even talking, though I hadn't heard any of it, with Narcissus. The other man had crawled all the way across that huge bed to be within touching distance of us all. But it wasn't us all that he wanted to touch.
Sweet, sweet Jean-Claude. I thought I had forgotten you, but seeing you tonight on the floor with the two of them made me remember.
He reached out towards Jean-Claude, and Richard grabbed his wrist.
Don't touch him. Don't ever touch him again.
Narcissus looked from Jean-Claude to Richard, and finally back to Richard.
Such possessiveness. It must be true love.
I had a ringside seat and watched the muscles in Richard's hands and forearms tense as he squeezed that dainty wrist. Narcissus laughed, voice shaky but not with pain.
Such strength, such passion. Would he crush my wrist just for trying to touch your hair?
His voice held amusement, and what I finally realized was excitement. Richard touching him, threatening him, hurting him? He was enjoying it. I felt Richard realize it too, but he didn't let go. Instead, he jerked the other man off balance until he fell against his body. Narcissus made a small, surprised sound. Richard kept one hand on his wrist, and he put the other to the man's neck. Not squeezing, just there, large and dark against Narcissus's pale skin. The bodyguard, Ajax, had moved away from the wall, and Asher had moved to meet him. Things could go very bad very quickly here. It was usually me that lost my temper and made things worse, not Richard. Narcissus had to sense rather than see the movement, because Richard had him facing away from the rest of the room.
It's all right, Ajax. It's all right. Richard is not hurting me.
Then Richard did something that made Narcissus's breath stop in his throat and come out harsh.
You may crush my wrist if it's foreplay, but if it's not, then my people will kill you. All of you.
His words were reasonable. His tone was not. You could hear the pain in his voice, but there was also anticipation, as if whichever way Richard answered, it would excite him. Jean-Claude spoke.
Do not give him an excuse to have us at his mercy, mon ami. We are in his territory tonight, his guests. We owe him a guest's duty to his host, as long as he does not forfeit that right.
I wasn't 100% sure what a guest's duties to his host were, but I was willing to bet that crushing their limbs wasn't among them. I touched Richard's shoulder and he jumped. Narcissus made a small protesting sound, as if Richard had involuntarily tightened his grip. Jean-Claude's right, Richard.
Anita counsels you to temperance, Richard, and she is one of the least temperate people I have ever known.
Jean-Claude moved forward, laying his hand on Richard's other shoulder so we both touched him.
Besides, mon ami, hurting this one will not undo the harm already done. No drop of blood less will have been spilt. No pound of flesh less will have been lost. No humiliation will have been stopped. It is over. Memories cannot harm us.
For the first time, I wondered if Richard and I had gotten the same memories in that flash of shared insight. What I'd seen had been horrible, but it hadn't affected me like it had him. Maybe it was a guy thing. Maybe a white, Anglo-Saxon, upper-middle-class male like Richard would take memories of being abused and raped harder than I would. I was a woman. I knew things like that could happen to me. Maybe he had never thought they could happen to him. Richard spoke low, his voice fallen to a rolling growl, as if his beast lurked just behind that handsome throat.
Never touch him again, Narcissus, or we'll finish this.
Then Richard slowly, carefully, slid his hands away from Narcissus. I expected him to scoot away, clutching his injured wrist, but I underestimated him, or maybe overestimated him. Narcissus did cradle his wrist, but he stayed pressed against Richard's body.
You've torn ligaments in my wrist. They take longer to heal than bone.
I know,
Richard said softly. The level of anger in those two words made me flinch.
With a thought, I can tell my men to leave her were-leopards to the mercy of their captors.
Richard glanced at Jean-Claude, who nodded.
Narcissus can contact his men, mind to mind.
Richard put his hands on Narcissus's shoulders. To push him away, I thought, but Narcissus said,
"You've revoked your safe passage by injuring me against my will."
Richard froze, and I could see the tension in his back, feel the sudden uncertainty. "What is he talking about?" I asked. I wasn't even sure who I was asking.
"Narcissus has a small army of were-hyenas within this building, and on the surrounding buildings as guards," Jean-Claude said.
"If the were-hyenas are so powerful, then why doesn't everyone talk about them in the same breath with the wolves and the rats?" I asked.
"Because Narcissus prefers to be the power behind the throne, ma petite. It means that the other shapeshifters are constantly currying his favor with gifts."
"Like Nicolaos used you," I said. He nodded. I looked at Richard. "What have you been giving him?" Richard eased away from Narcissus.
"Nothing."
Narcissus turned on the bed, still cradling his wrist.
"That's about to change." "I don't think so," Richard said. "Marcus and Reyna had an arrangement with me. They and the rats dictated that my hyenas could never rise above 50 in number. To make this happen, they used gifts, not threats."
"The threat was always there," Richard said.
"War between you, us, and the rats, with you on the losing side."
Narcissus shrugged.
"Perhaps, but have you not wondered what I've been doing since Marcus died and you took over? I wondered when the gifts would start arriving, but instead all gifts stopped, even the ones I'd begun to count on."
He looked at me then.
"Some of those gifts were yours to give, Nimer-Ra."
I must have looked as confused as I felt because Jean-Claude said,
"The were-leopards."
"Yes, Gabriel, their old alpha, was a dear, dear friend of mine," Narcissus said.
Since I'd killed Gabriel, I didn't like the way the conversation was going. "You mean that Gabriel gave some of the were-leopards to you?" Narcissus's smile made me shiver.
"All of them have spent time in my care, except Nathaniel."
His smile faded.
"I assumed Gabriel kept Nathaniel to himself because he was his personal favorite, but now that you've told me what Nathaniel is, I know that wasn't it."
Narcissus leaned forward on his knees.
"Gabriel was afraid to give me Nathaniel, afraid of what we might do together."
I swallowed hard. "You covered your reaction really well when I told you."
"I'm an accomplished liar, Anita. Best remember that."
He looked up at Richard.
"How long has it been since Marcus's death? A little over a year?"
"When the gifts stopped coming, I assumed the pact was at an end."
"What are you saying?" Richard asked.
"There are over 400 were-hyenas now. Some new, some recruited from out of state. But we rival the were-rats and werewolves now.
You will have to negotiate with us as equals instead of peons."
Richard said,
"What are you..."
Jean-Claude interrupted.
"Let us come to terms."
I felt the fear that was behind his calm words, and so did Richard. You did not ask a sexual sadist what he wanted. You offered what you were willing to give up. Narcissus looked at Richard.
"Are they Jean-Claude's wolves now, Richard? Do you share your kingship?"
The tone was mocking.
"I am Ulfric, and I will set the terms. No one else."
But his voice was cautious. The temper slowed. I'd never seen Richard like this, and I wasn't sure I liked the change. He was reacting more like me. As I thought of it, I wondered. I channeled some of his beast, some of Jean-Claude's hunger. What did they gain from me?
"You know what I want," Narcissus said.
"You would be wise not to ask for it," Jean-Claude said.
"If I cannot have you, Jean-Claude, then perhaps to watch the three of you make love on my bed would be enough to wash this insult clean between us."
Richard and I said together,
"No."
He looked at us, and there was something unpleasant in his eyes.
"Then give me Nathaniel."
"No," I said.
For one evening.
No,
for an hour,
he said. I shook my head.
One of the other leopards?
I won't give you any of my people. He looked at Richard.
And you, Ulfric, will you give me one of your wolves? You know the answer, Narcissus,
Richard said.
Then what would you offer me, Ulfric? Name something I'm willing to give.
Narcissus smiled, and I had a sense of Ajax and Asher circling each other as they felt the tension rising.
I want to be included in the conferences that run the shapeshifter community in this town.
Richard nodded.
Fine. Raphael and I thought you had no interest in politics, or you would already have been asked. The Rat King does not know my heart, nor do the wolves.
Richard stood.
Anita needs to go to her people.
Narcissus smiled and shook his head.
Oh no, Ulfric, it is not that easy.
Richard frowned.
You're to be included in decision-making. That's what you wanted.
But I still want gifts.
No gifts pass between the rats and the wolves. We are allies. If you wish to be an ally, then there will be no gifts, except that we will come to your aid when you need us.
Narcissus shook his head again.
I do not wish to be allies, to be dragged into every squabble between animals that do not concern me. No, Ulfric, you mistake me. I wish to be included in the conferences that set policy, but I do not wish to tie myself to anyone and be dragged into a war that is not of my own making. Then what are you asking?
Richard said.
Gifts. Bribes, you mean?
Richard said. Narcissus shrugged.
Call it what you will. No,
Richard said. I felt Jean-Claude tense a moment before Richard said it.
Mon ami, no,
Richard said, and turned to Jean-Claude.
Even if he could kill us all, which I doubt, my wolves, your vampires, they would rain down on this club and take it apart brick by brick. He won't risk that. Narcissus is a cautious leader. I learned from watching him deal with Marcus. He puts his own safety and comfort above all else.
The comfort and safety of my people above all else,
Narcissus said. He looked at me.
What of you, Nimir Ra? How confident do you feel? Do you think if I had my people kill your kittens, that the werewolves and vampires would lift a finger to avenge them? You forget, Narcissus. She's also my Lupa, my mate. The wolves will defend who she tells them to defend.
Ah, yes, the human Lupa, the human leopard queen. But not really human, is she?
I met his gaze and said, I need to go collect my leopards. Thanks for the hospitality. I pushed to my feet and stood beside Richard. Narcissus looked at Jean-Claude, who still lounged on the bed.
Are they really such children?
He asked him. Jean-Claude gave a graceful shrug.
They are not like us, Narcissus. They still believe in right and wrong, and rules.
Then let me teach them a new rule.
He stared up at us, still kneeling on the bed, still wearing the black lace dress, and suddenly his power burst out before him in lines of heat. It slammed into my body like a giant hand, nearly staggering me. Richard reached out to steady me, and the moment we touched, his beast jumped between us in a rush of warmth that raced through my body in goosebumps and shivers. Richard's body shuddered, and I felt his breath, our breath, catch. That otherworldly power curled between us, and for the first time I realized that the power came both ways. I'd thought what was inside me was an echo of Richard's beast, but it was more than that. Maybe it would have been different if I hadn't separated myself from him for so long. But now the power that had once been his was mine. The warmth spilled between us like two streams converging into a river, two scalding hot streams that spilled into a river that boiled over my skin. It was so hot that I half expected my skin to peel away and reveal the beast underneath.
If she shifts, then my men are free to enter this fight,
Narcissus's voice was shocking. I think I'd forgotten he was there, forgotten everything but the hot, hot power flowing between Richard and me. Narcissus's face began to grow longer. It was like watching sticks move behind clay. Richard ran his hand just in front of my body, caressing the power that flowed off of my skin. There was a look of soft wonderment on his face.
"She won't shift. You have my word," Richard said.
"Good enough. You always keep your word. I may be a sadist and a masochist, but I am still Obar of this clan."
His voice had become a strange, high-pitched growl.
"You have insulted me, and through me, all that is mine."
Claws slid out from his small fingers until he raised curved paws, not hands at all. Jean-Claude came to stand beside us.
"Come, ma petite, let them have room to maneuver."
He touched my hand, and that scalding power poured from my skin to his. He collapsed to his knees, hand still pressed against my skin, as if the heat had welded it in place. I knelt by him, and his gaze raised, drowning blue, the pupil lost in a rush of power, but not his power. He opened his mouth to speak, but no sound came out. He stared at me, and judging by the look on his face, he felt lost, overwhelmed.
"What's wrong?"
Asher asked from across the room, still facing Ajax. "I'm not sure," I said.
"He seems in pain," Narcissus said.
It made me glance up at him. Except for his face and hands, he was still in human form. The really powerful alphas could do that. Partial changes.
"The power spills over him,"
Richard said, and his voice held that edge of growl. His throat was hidden behind the leather collar, but I knew if I could see it, that the skin would be smooth and perfect. His voice could howl from his mouth like a dog's without any change in his appearance.
"But he is a vampire,"
Narcissus said.
"The power of the wolves should be closed to him."
"The wolf is his animal to call,"
Richard said. I looked into Jean-Claude's face from inches away, watched him struggle through the hot, scalding power, and knew why he wasn't dealing well with it. This was primal energy, the life and beat of the earth under our feet, the rush of wind in the trees, the stuff of life. And Jean-Claude, for all that he walked and talked and flirted, wasn't alive. Richard knelt beside us, and Jean-Claude let out a low moan, half collapsing against me.
"Jean-Claude!"
Richard rolled him over into his arms, and Jean-Claude's spine bowed, his breath coming in ragged gasps. Narcissus was above us on the bed.
"What's wrong with him?"
"I don't know,"
Richard said. I put a hand on Jean-Claude's throat. The pulse wasn't just racing, it was beating like a caged thing. I tried to use the ability I had to sense vampires, but all I could feel was the heat of the beast. There was nothing cold or dead in the circle of our arms.
"Lay him on the floor, Richard."
He looked at me.
"Do it!"
He laid Jean-Claude gently on the floor, hand still touching his shoulder.
"Move away from him."
I did what I asked of Richard, standing and moving around the vampire, pushing Richard back with my body until Jean-Claude lay alone beside the bed. Narcissus's body had reformed, until he was the graceful man we'd met downstairs. He'd moved off the bed without being told, but moved around so he could still watch. Jean-Claude rolled slowly onto his side and moved his head to stare at us. He licked his lips and tried twice before he could speak.
"What have you done to me?"
Richard and I still stood in a cocoon of heat. His hands brushed my arms and I shuddered against him. His arms locked around my waist, and the more of our bodies that touched, the more heat rose around us, until I thought the very air should tremble like the heat of a summer's day off a tar road. "Shared Richard's power with you," I said.
"No,"
Jean-Claude said, and he rose slowly to sit, propped heavily on his arms.
"Not just Richard, but you, ma petite, you. Richard and I have shared much, but it never did this. You are the bridge between the two worlds.
Asher spoke.
She bridges life and death.
Jean-Claude looked up at him sharply, a harsh look on his face.
Exactement.
Narcissus spoke.
I knew Marcus and Reyna could share their power, their beasts, but Anita is not a werewolf. You should not be able to share your beast with each other, wolf to leopard.
I'm not a were-leopard, I said.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much, Narcissus said.
Or were-animal to vampire,
Asher said. I looked at Asher. Don't you start. He smiled at me.
I know that you are not a true shapeshifter, but your magic has changed because of the addition of Richard. There is something about you that if I did not know better, I would say you are indeed one of them.
Richard said the wolf is Jean-Claude's animal to call,
Narcissus said.
That doesn't explain this, Asher said.
He knelt by Jean-Claude, reaching towards him. Jean-Claude caught his hand before it could touch his face, and Asher jerked back.
You're hot to the touch. Not just warm, hot.
It is like the rush after we feed, but more alive.
He gazed up at us, and his eyes were still drowning blue.
Go save your leopards, ma petite, and let us retire before dawn.
I want to see how hot.
He took a deep breath, and I knew he was drawing in the scent of us.
This power will grow.
It is all very impressive, Narcissus said, but I will have my pound of flesh.
You're beginning to get on my nerves, I said. He smiled.
Be that as it may, I still have a right to ask for the insult to be avenged.
I looked at Richard. He nodded. I sighed. You know, it's usually me that gets us into this kind of trouble.
We're not in trouble yet, Richard said. Narcissus is grandstanding. Why do you think I didn't change?
He stared at the smaller man. Narcissus smiled.
And here I thought you were just decorative muscle standing behind Marcus.
You won't fight unless you run out of options, Narcissus, so no more games.
There was a coldness in Richard's voice, a firmness that could not be crossed or reasoned with. Again, it echoed me more than him. Just how tough had the last few months been on him and his wolves? There are only a few things that will harden you this fast. Death of those close to you, police work, or combat where people are actually dying around you. In civilian life, Richard was a junior high science teacher, so it wasn't police work. I think someone would have mentioned if he'd lost family members. That left combat. How many challengers had he fought? How many had he killed? Who had died? I shook my head to clear away the thoughts. One problem at a time.
You can't have any of us or our people, Narcissus. You're not going to start a war over the refusal, so where does that leave us? I will take my men out of the room with your cats, Anita. I will do that.
He came to stand in front of me, his back to the bedpost, one hand playing with the chains attached to it, making the metal jingle.
The people that have them are not terribly creative, but they have a certain raw talent for pain.
He stared at me with human eyes again.
What do you want, Narcissus? Richard said.
He wrapped the chain around one wrist over and over.
Something worth having, Richard. Someone worth having.
Asher said,
Do you merely want someone to dominate, or are you interested in being dominated?
Narcissus looked back at him.
Why?
Answer the question truthfully, Narcissus,
Jean-Claude said.
You may find it worthwhile.
Narcissus looked from one vampire to the other, then back to Asher, standing there in his brown leather outfit.
I prefer to dominate, but with the right person, I'll allow myself to be topped.
Asher walked towards us, making his tall, slender body sway.
I'll top you.
You do not have to do this, Jean-Claude said.
Don't do it, Asher, I said.
We'll find another way, Richard said.
Asher looked at us with those pale, pale blue eyes.
I thought you'd be happy, Jean-Claude. I've finally agreed to take a lover. Isn't that what you wanted me to do?
His voice was mild, but the mockery came through just the same. The bitterness.
I have offered you nearly all in my power, and you have refused all. Why him? Why now?
Jean-Claude got to his knees, and I offered him a hand up, not 100% sure that I should. He looked at the offered hand. If you think it's safe, I said. He wrapped his hand around mine, and the power flowed in a burning rush down my hand, over his, down his arm, and I felt it hit his heart like a blow. He closed his eyes, swayed for a second, then looked at me.
It was unexpected the first time.
He started to stand, and Richard went to his other side so that we held him between us. I don't know if this is good for you or not, I said.
You fill me with life, ma petite. You and Richard. How can it be bad?
I didn't say the obvious, but I thought it really hard. If you could fill the walking dead with life, should you? And if you did, what would happen to that walking dead? So much of what we were doing between us magically had never been done before, or only once before. Unfortunately, we'd had to kill the other triumvirate that consisted of a vamp, a werewolf, and a necromancer. They'd been trying to kill us, but still, they might have been able to answer questions that no one else could have answered. Now we were just swinging in the dark, hoping we didn't hurt each other.
Look at you, Jean-Claude. Between them, like a candle with two wicks. You will burn yourself up,
Asher said.
That is my concern. Yes, and what I do is mine. You ask, why him? Why now? First, you need me. Which of the three of you would be willing to do this?
Asher moved around Narcissus as if he weren't there, eyes on Jean-Claude, on us.
Oh, I know that you could have topped him. You can do it when you want, and make a virtue of necessity. But he's had you beneath him, and nothing less will satisfy him now.
He stood close enough that the energy swirled outward, over him like a lip of hot ocean water. His breath came out in a shuddering sigh.
Mon Dieu!
He stepped back until his legs touched the bed. Then he sat down on the black sheets. His brown leather didn't match as well as the rest of us had.
Such power, Jean-Claude, and yet none of you wishes to pay the price for Richard's temper tantrum. But I will pay that price.
You know my rule, Asher. I never ask of others what I'm not willing to do myself, I said. He looked at me curiously, face unreadable behind the mask except for his eyes.
Are you volunteering?
I shook my head. No. But you don't have to do this. We will find another way.
And what if I want to do it?
He asked. I looked at him for a second, then shrugged. I don't know what to say to that.
It disturbs you that I might want to do this, doesn't it?
His eyes were intense. Yes, I said. That intense gaze moved past me to Jean-Claude.
It bothers him, too. He wonders if I am ruined, and all that is left for me is pain.
You once told me that everything worked, that you were scarred, but functional, I said. He blinked and looked at me.
Did I? Well, a man does not like to admit such things to a pretty woman. Or to a handsome man.
He looked up at us, but the only person he was really looking at was Jean-Claude.
I will pay the toll for our handsome Monsieur Zeman's display of strength. But I will not be the whipping boy. Not this time.
Not ever again, hung heavy in the air, unsaid, but there all the same. Asher had had 200 years of being at the mercy of the people who had given Jean-Claude the memories that Richard and I had flashed on. 2 centuries more of that kind of care and torment. When Asher had first come to us, he'd been cruel occasionally. I thought we'd cured him of it. But watching the look in his eyes now, I knew we hadn't.
And do you know the best part of all?
Asher asked. Jean-Claude just shook his head.
It will cause you pain to think of me with Narcissus. And even after I am with him, he will still not answer the question you have been wanting so desperately to have answered.
Jean-Claude stiffened, hand tightening on mine. I felt him slam his own shields into place, keeping us out of what he was thinking, feeling at that moment. The warm, roiling power between us began to dissipate. Jean-Claude had made himself part of our circuit. Now he was shutting us down, though I didn't think it was on purpose. He just couldn't shield himself from us and keep the flow going. His voice came out calm, his usual bored yet cultured tone.
How can you be so sure that he will not talk?
I can be sure of what I do, and I will not give him the answer you want.
What answer? I asked. What are you guys talking about? The two vampires looked at each other.
Ask Jean-Claude, Asher said.
I looked at Jean-Claude, but he was staring at Asher. In a way, the rest of us were superfluous, an audience for a show that didn't need one.
You're being petty, Asher, Richard said.
The vampire's gaze moved to the man on my other side, and the anger in those eyes made the blue spill across the pupils in a frosted gleam. He looked blind.
Have I not earned the right to be petty, Richard?
Richard shook his head.
Just tell him the truth.
There are three people in his power that I would strip for, that I would allow to touch me and answer that so important question.
He stood in one graceful movement, like a liquid puppet on strings. He stepped close enough for the power to spill around him, bringing his breath shuddering from his lips. The power recognized him, flared stronger, as if he could act as our third if we weren't careful. Did the power just need a vampire and not specifically Jean-Claude? Richard shut down his side of the power, clanging a shield in place that made me think of metal, strong and solid, uncompromising. Asher caressed the air just above Richard's arm and had to step away, rubbing his hands on his arms.
The power fades.
He shook himself like a dog coming out of water.
If you would say yes, his torment could end.
I frowned at them both. Not sure I was following the conversation. Not sure I wanted to. Asher turned those pale, drowning eyes to me.
Oh, our fair Anita.
He was already shaking his head.
But no, I know better than to ask. I have enjoyed shocking our so heterosexual Richard by my overtures. But Anita is not so easily teased.
He came to stand in front of Jean-Claude.
And of course, if he wanted the answer badly enough, he could do it himself.
Jean-Claude's face was at its most arrogant, its most hidden.
You know why I do not.
Asher moved back to stand in front of me.
He refuses my bed because he fears that you would, what is the American word, dump him. If you knew he were sleeping with a man, would you?
I had to swallow before I could answer.
Yeah.
Asher smiled, but not like he was happy, more like it had been a predictable answer.
Then I will pleasure myself here with Narcissus, and Jean-Claude will still not know if I stay because I have become a lover of such things, or because this type of love is all that is left for me.
I haven't agreed to this, Narcissus said. Before I take fourth choice, let me see what I'm buying.
Asher stood, turning so that his left side was towards the werehyena. He unzipped the mask and lifted it over his head. We were standing enough to one side so that I could see that perfect profile. His golden hair, and I mean golden, was braided along the back of his head so that nothing interfered with the view. I was used to looking at Asher through a film of hair. Without it, the lines of his face were like sculpture, something so smooth and lovely that you wanted to touch it, trace the movement of it with your hands, layer it with kisses. Even after the little show he'd put on, He was still beautiful. Nothing seemed to change that when I looked at Asher.
Very nice, Narcissus said.